And the very literal word for the bowels, King James uses that, I think, more than any other translation. It's the word we get the word spleen from. I can't pronounce it. It's like really long. But it's where we get our word spleen. And it's not here. It's here. And this is where they considered it the heart. There is a seat of knowledge that's available if we pay attention. And so, because we're made in the image of God, there are things that we can do that resemble God. And in our state, they're often corrupted or abused or diminished. But the more we walk with Him, the more naturally that flow. To be conformed to the image of Christ is not just becoming a better, nice guy. It's all of the things that Jesus is, but we will never be divine. We cannot be. And in our world today, there's a breakdown of identities. I started, that's one of the threads from before. There's the Creator and His creation. So if there's no Creator, there's no creation. We're all here anyway, so the universe created itself. The Creator and the creation are one and the same. There is no distinction. Then underneath that is man and animal. Through evolution, all life is connected. We're all animals, which has some very big philosophical questions concerning justice. We're just animals. A bear went through a meadow and killed all the female moose. I don't know what plural of moose is, but killed all the female mooses and ate the babies. Only the pregnant female mooses it killed, and it ate the babies and left carcasses behind. We don't see anything wrong with that. But what if a man did that? Assume maternity ward. Kills all the mothers and eats the babies. Man, he locked up or cast out that demon or something. You know? Why is that? And that comes back into here. We're like animals, but we're not either. And it's been universally recognized. And then finally, where we are today,
that's sweet.
That didn't look right. Coming out. Male and female. Because there is no God, because there is no distinction of creator creation, there's no creator to say how things are. It's up to us to make our own reality, figure it all out for ourselves. We can even determine what gender. New York, last I heard, represents 129 gender designations. And it's only going to get worse. Because once you say there is more than two, and yes, there are mutations and genetic problems and all like that, but there's still two. Somebody can make a very quick DNA test for gender identity, and then you just stick it on the bathroom wall. This one is coded for female, this one is coded for male. If your DNA doesn't line up, then so to break down these things, the most fundamental identity issues of our day, has degenerated 1700s and 1800s, also 1800s, into 1900s. It's just pushed heavily, required by law in every public school, and now to here in the 2000s.
And Target.
But see, as they have no foundation or solid rock to base their philosophical policy decisions on. This is something I realized about 10 years ago. In government and corporate, most high-level decisions like that are based on philosophy. The philosophy of the board of directors or whoever are the decision-making people, they're just acting out their philosophy. They went through public school probably, maybe even some elite private schools, on into universities, and they're taught all of this nonsense because they hate him. We can't allow him. He's going to change things, and we know it. So we'll just pretend he doesn't exist and continue on our existence without him. And so as we face these things, learning to think in this holistic manner. When you come across somebody, well, you know, what about that? You know, if they're asking you about scientific evidence, you can talk about that. If they're talking about more philosophical evidence. So this is evidential, classical, and transcendental. That's the three areas. Transcendental. I think I got there. So that's what on the schedule, starting December 29th, we're going to start looking at these. And I was trying to decide which way to go, and I'm going to just give them a start right here. So I call it the nuclear option. You start with God, and you are holistic in your thinking, you can take care of any of these other issues. And so I called classical shotgun approach, because it deals with several things at the same time through philosophies. But evidential, I just call it the single shot. Okay, what about radiometric data? Okay, what about stars? Okay, what about dinosaurs and human footprints? You know, there's just all these individual issues, and we can spend hours and hours and hours. You have to learn all kinds of stuff, and it's all available to learn, but, you know, if you're 12 years old, you don't have it. But a 12-year-old can start here and blow the PhDs away. Because it doesn't matter how old you are. It matters on some few basic things. Okay, you believe only rocks and physics, chemistry and physics. There is no God. Okay. Why would it be wrong for me to shoot you?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't do that. But why?
Yeah.
Let's start climbing this ladder down here and get to the why. Tell me why.
Oh, they'll put you in jail. So?
Three meals, dental, medical, TV. What else could a kid ask for?
And bad publication. No job.
So, when we get down to the whys, we've got to be able to get down underneath their objections. If all there is rocks, who cares about anything? Why should we give to the poor? Why should we do anything beneficial for anyone? Why is it wrong to lie? Cheating? Every week new stories come out about fraud in medical sciences and physical science, faking the data. I met a guy in Bend, Oregon, PhD geneticist. His research in viral evolution was going the wrong way. And his advisors told him to change the data to fit what we want. And he said, that's common. So how can we talk about a good education when the very data that's being presented to students, the conclusions presented to students are based on lies at the very beginning? Well, it's because if there is no God, there is no truth. Oh, there's no such thing as absolute truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what the question, answer to that is?
Are you absolutely
saying
that
as a lie?
Yeah.
No.
It's not true. Either.
There's a defensive answer, and then there's the nuclear option.
Right.
Is it absolutely true that there's no such thing as absolute truth?
You can't be absolutely true. You can't be absolutely confident of that.
Statement. Yeah. is your actual.
Yeah.
And so being able to pick up on, and it takes time, to be able to pick up on these things, that when they stay this, we know it's stupid. But that doesn't help them realize how stupid it really is. How absurd. Really? You believe that? Instead of allowing you.
There is no God. Well, let me show you.
Really?
That's not a good one.
Really? Just that moment, pause to think. What do you mean? Let them tell you. They will always hand you the rope you used to hang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always. Because it's wrong. It's false. And it would help them to get to that place to where their whole ideas are just breaking down. And that's our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convert them. To help them comprehend and wrestle with the truth. And we just lay it out there. They may absolutely argue with you, but when they go home, they're going to put their head down on the pillow at night, just like everybody else, and they're going to be alone with God. And that's the time. How are we doing?
4 minutes.
Okay. So, we want to nail this, the four spiritual laws of evangelism. We want to go, yes, say the sinner's prayer, okay, wonderful, you're saved.
Yeah.
Go to church, tell everybody how I pray that somebody gets saved today. Or 5 people during the week. It's sort of an ego and pride thing. Mm-hmm. But when we have to spend time getting to know somebody, what is the things they're struggling with? Yeah. Jesus has been my best friend for 40 years. I'm so lonely. He can help you with that. All of the counseling, and that kind of got brought up last week, is there are counseling moments, but then there's also apologetics moments. And in every case, we want to establish rock solid truths. The kinds of things that aren't going to wilt the snowflake, we're called the snowflake generation. It just wilts in the heat. Can't take any stress or pressure. But when we have things that are so solid, and this is one of the myths that has come through philosophy, particularly liberal philosophy, you can't explain things, you can't prove the existence of God. Absolutely, you can. But see, if you don't know God to start with, then you might have to say that. Because it kind of satisfies, well, if I can't know, then nobody can know. You heard that? It doesn't exactly come out like that. But there's these little things that if we have better answers for. What do you mean? So you're saying you know everything? I mean, heard the people get into this religious discussion, and you know, religion is like a bunch of blind men feeling an elephant. Anybody heard that?
Yeah.
Anybody not heard that? It's pervasive. Okay, so have this discussion that, you know, one guy is holding the leg, and he said the elephant is kind of like a tree, and they're all blind, so they can only feel. So then one's got the trunk, and it's kind of like a thick snake, and the other's got the tail. No, it's like a skinny snake, and the other's feeling the body, and it's like it's big and hard. And I said, see, that proves we're all like those blind men. There's all these religions out there, and they're all basically saying the same thing. And so the problem with that is you have to be a sighted observer at a distance to see the whole elephant to be able to say each one of those pieces is part of the whole. Because if you're saying you're as blind as they are, so how do you know that not all of those pieces are something different? It has to do with being outside. And then C.S. Lewis talked about thinking about thinking. That in this mechanical, materialistic universe, there are people outside thinking about it. But they say this doesn't exist. So how can you talk about something that exists from a position of a place that doesn't exist. Similar to the blind man and the elephant. You have to be a sighted observer that has omniscient knowledge about all religions in order to say they're all basically the same.
So there could be a God.
So you're claiming knowledge that you didn't, that you're denying me. You're claiming you know all religions are the same. Well, I'm saying they're not. So you're denying me knowledge that you're claiming for yourself. You have all that knowledge, but you say it, that nobody can have. There's another one. Nobody can know anything for sure. Well then, how can you even make that statement?
It's absolutely true.
If nobody can know anything for sure, then how do you know for sure that what you're saying is even true? But they sound so good. They learned it in, hopefully in philosophy class at university. And spread it around. There's all these things that sound so spiritual. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. And this blessing. Holy Spirit, just overshadow everybody and help them to, for these things to sink in and to be then brought out in a future day that somebody else will hear.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.